So we've got Mr. Brian Vaughan coming up to share with us. So he's just going to come up now.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning. Looking at some of you, it's true. Your youth has been renewed. Have you trusted in the Lord? To the others, some of you would say, get your money back for your Botox. I'm not looking at anybody. Let's just pray. Lord, you are worthy, as you've been singing this morning, of all our praise, all our worship, all that we are. Because, Father, you gave your all for us, gave the very best that ever had. So, Father, we just pray that you'll just bless, Lord, human vessels, Lord, as we try, Lord, in some way to bring glory to your name. We ask it in your name. Amen. Okay. Did any Latin students among you this morning? You didn't go to Eton or Gordiston, Oxford or Cambridge? So none of you is going to know what this means then. It's a shame because I've got a really nice little gift bag for anybody who could have told me what it was. It's all right, I'll take it home. This was the motto of Birmingham Bible Institute. You see, I went to a proper Bible college. Okay? It means everyone who truly loves the Lord Jesus is this morning. Turn with me to Romans 8, 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also give us freely all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, that is in today's world, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I'd like you to turn now to another reading. Matthew 21 and verse 2 to 11. And when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of him. And immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be spoken, which was fulfilled by the prophet Isaiah, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the fold of a donkey. So the disciples went as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna means save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Now I'd like you to turn, if you've got your Bibles, you're doing a lot of Bible search, you won't do any harm whatsoever. Revelation 19, verse 11 to 14. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judged and makes war. His eyes like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written on that no one except himself knew. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." There can be no doubt who that is. "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." Amen. Praise God. So does anybody have any idea what this, what we'll pull up earlier, one is? I'll tell you. Romans is a great book for boosting your faith. It contains insights that are found nowhere else. It deals with the work of Jesus Christ as Creator and Redeemer. It talks about justification by faith and the plan of salvation. It shows the power of the gospel and the grace of God to change lives and enable believers to be more than they are conquerors in Christ Jesus and truly live by the power of Christ in them. That's what that means. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. When we looked at Matthew 21, we see there, this is what we call Palm Sunday, where Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, Jesus did this deliberately as a sign of humility. If he had arrived on a white stallion, it would have been indicating he was coming as a conquering hero and certain to cause an extreme reaction from the Roman authorities. For that is how a Roman general who had great victories or a great victory, and as he returned from battle to Rome, he would ride on a white stallion followed by his army to be feted and presented by Caesar and receive trophies and be cheered by the crowd. So Jesus chose a donkey. Come with me now again to Romans 19, 11 to 14. Here we see John on the Isle of Patmos. It tells us he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I want to say this morning, there's no better place to be on the Lord's Day than in the Spirit. Even better to be in Oasis or any other church, to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Away, isolated from everyone and everything. This day and age, we're so pressed for time, so pressed with people coming and phoning. How good it would be for one day to get away. To shut down our mobile phones. Whoa. To close the computer. To stop all emails and all text messaging. And to get alone with God. And to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I realise this morning there's some who can't get to church. And I realise this morning that those who I really need our prayers and our love. But how to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Not necessarily in church, but to have God speaking to us. To find time. May not be a day, perhaps 2 or 3 hours that you set apart to get before God. 60 years had gone, and here is John on the Isle of Patmos, the last rose of summer. The one remaining link between the Jesus of history and the Jesus of experience. Some 60 years had gone. All the other disciples and all who'd known Jesus were long dead. John is the only one left who actually talked and walked with Jesus. He would have known the plight of all the other disciples. And yet, he remained faithful to God. And he was there on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and his testimony to Jesus Christ. And I want to say this morning, it will not be long before some of us are facing imprisonment and isolation because of the word of God and our faithfulness to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And John sees heaven open And as he looked at the divine revelation, his spiritual eyes were opened and he saw, as we read, a man coming on a horse, a white horse. Remember what that means. A white horse represents authority, victory, power and triumph. And he sees someone on that horse who bears the title Faithful and True. There can be no doubt who this is. He's called the Word of God. Who is this Word of God? Who is this that is on the white horse? Of course, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. His clothes are dipped in blood. Now, to me, there are two interpretations of that. Either they are the blood of the martyrs, of the saints who have died for Christ, or he's coming to avenge them of their blood, or he's the one who has shed his blood that we might be saved. This isn't a baby born in a stable. This isn't Jesus now riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, but one who is coming to rule and to reign. The one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. The one who is coming to make war with his enemies and to destroy them. He's followed by an army. An army from all the generations that have lived, and an army that are now saints and following the Lord Jesus Christ, their leader and Lord. And I love this, whose garments are white and clean. All our filthiness are rags, but when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us garments that are white and clean. And let us know that all our sins are forgiven and done away with. And this is the one to whom every knee shall bow. When John saw this, it would have seemed impossible to the saints at that time, who were suffering torment and death. Their property was taken from them. They were slain. They were being murdered. They were being killed. But they fed to the lions for their faith. The church was considered an enemy of the state. And those days, those days have returned. And when I hear people that lose their jobs because they believe in Jesus Christ, it should all cause every one of us to pray for those people. When I hear about people being put in prison and murdered and tortured in this day and age for their faith in Jesus, friends, brothers and sisters, we have it easy for now. We are not suffering like those, but that time might yet come. And Paul suffered more than most. He exclaimed, "We are killed all day long." Yet he said in Romans 8, verse 18, that the suffering of this present time were not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed to us. We have no idea what Christ has for us. We can read it in the Bible, but a lot of it is left behind. We are going to have such tremendous blessings, tremendous glory when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Then he says, I love this scripture, all things work together for good for those who love God. That has been my experience. Let me share a little two verses I have trouble with. I used to have a lot of trouble with this verse. All things work together for good to those who love God. Another verse I used to have trouble with, and I still do. If somebody smacks me on the left cheek or the cheek, oh boy, I have to admit, I find it hard not to turn around and smack them harder. There you are, I'm confessing this morning. But all things work together for good. If you want to know things that have happened in my life that have made this scripture come true for me, then ask me after. But all things work together. All things work together for good. Verse 31, if God is for us, who or what can be against? Brothers, sisters, we know that the world at large is against the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the world at large is against those things. It's my grandson, I think he's fed up already. I'm preaching it. Thank you, man. Bless him. We know that the world is against us in many ways. But we also know that God is for us. That should cause us this morning to be rejoicing and thanking God. Paul was convinced that in all these things, being killed, tortured, imprisoned, we are more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us? God wants us to move from fear to faith. He wants us to move from being victims to being victorious in him. And it will be in him. And through the eyes of divine revelation, the church is seen as anything but victims. And they are moving forward towards their reward, being led to glorious ultimate victory by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know times are hard. I know times are difficult. I know there are many people who are sick and in desperate need. I know the situations and circumstances of many. When I'm going around the hospital wards, I see people in desperate need, people in pain, people who are suffering all kinds of things. They don't know the Lord. But those who do have a faith that burns brightly. They're being led, and we are being led to something which we cannot even begin to contemplate or understand, because most of it is revealed. But what we have waiting for us is glorious and wonderful. Above all the sufferings that we might suffer in this world, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. God wants us to be overcomers, to be strong and of good courage, because Christ has made us more than conquerors. Not only are we conquerors, we are more than conquerors. Paul says here, uses the Greek hypertechnicum, which means supremely victorious. We're not just victorious, we are supremely victorious. There is no victory like the victory of the saints of Jesus. There is no win like the saints of Jesus win. There is no triumph like those of Jesus Christ's triumph. No earthly triumph can compare to the triumph of the saints in Jesus Christ. Amen this morning. Praise God for what he's done for us, and that we can know something of this wonderful, glorious victory. His power in heaven on earth, no power in heaven on earth, under the earth, no demonic power, no schemes of men, nor death itself, nothing created or is yet to be created, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God this morning for where we stand in Christ. What we are is more than conquerors. In him that loved us and gave himself for us, there is nothing or anyone can deny us what Christ has accomplished for us. For Christ is the ultimate victor. He destroyed sin, he destroyed death, he destroyed Satan on the cross. He destroys and makes nothing of all those things that come our way. The circumstances and the situations should make us even stronger in Jesus Christ. So much suffering because of Jesus. At the moment, many people are suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But Jesus wants us to reign with him. We are going to reign with him in glory. But I believe to a certain extent we can reign with Christ on earth. He has given us authority over sickness, over demons and over all sorts of things. And we can pray and expect to see God move, because we are more than conquerors in him. Total, supreme, utter victory is brought to us in his name. Jesus Christ is our supreme head, and he's made us more than conquerors. The love of God is where? The love of God is in Christ Jesus towards us. Not in us, it's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In what ways is love shown to us? First of all, those who are part of the church. I'm not talking about the physical church. I'm not talking about some of those who are going to church this morning. I'm talking about the spiritual church. Those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We who know the Lord Jesus Christ are the church. We who know the Lord Jesus Christ are more than conquerors. Christ loved his church. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 5, 6, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself. We were predestined because God knew that we would be here this morning, trusting him, loving him, having turned our lives over to him. He predestined. We've been adopted as sons and daughters, just to keep politically correct, which I'm not, but I will this morning. We've been adopted. We have been adopted into the family of Jesus Christ. All authority that is ours in his name. We need to understand that. The church is often looked at as something which is, has no power, has no need to be in the world today. We need to understand what we are in Jesus Christ. We need to understand the authority that God has given us. We need to understand that Jesus has given us the victory. He's given us the victory over and over again. No greater scripture in the New Testament than the one I've read, that all things work together for good. Not some, but all. Whatever your situation, you at home, you will be watching later, you are online, all things work together for good. Whatever your suffering, whatever your problem, maybe it's lack of job, maybe it's finances, maybe it's physical, maybe it's family. All things are working together. We cannot see it, but through the eyes of faith, we can understand that all things are working together for good. We don't see the full picture. We only see the part that affects us now, but the whole thing is going to be turned around for our good and for the glory of Jesus Christ. I said earlier, and all I'm talking about, I've been there. Anybody who wants to know, I'll tell them, but here's not the place. God doesn't make mistakes. By rising Jesus from the dead, Christ died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. And by raising Jesus from the dead, he justified us and gave us power to live in his power. In the victory accomplished on Calvary, by rising him, he made an open show of all the work that the enemy could do. And he destroyed it. He's interceding for us. You may be going through trials and difficulties, but I want you to know this morning that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father interceding for you. He gave us the ability to live in the all-conquering power he accomplished in his resurrection. But of all this, I cannot emphasize this strong enough. God knows where you are, regardless of how you feel, regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of outward appearance, you're a victor, you're a winner, you're an overcomer, you're a conqueror in the name of Jesus Christ. The outward can't reveal the true spiritual truths. Earthly spirits were embraced by God's, early saints were embraced by God's love. They knew the world held nothing for them of value. And for them, they were prepared to die at the hands of the persecutors, even as they suffered. For they knew that they were more than conquerors in Christ. Why? Because of the hope they had. What you're going through now is but for the season. We can say with Paul, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Not worthy. Anything compares to the glory of God. Nothing compares to the glory that God has laid up for those who love him. Brothers, sisters, we are more than conquerors in Christ. It was truly risen, and we can live and walk in the power and the life of Jesus Christ as he lives in us and we allow him. Understand this morning, we are more than conquerors in Christ. Amen.